It's Wrecking Ball Radio.
This is Davin's Den.
We are back. Thank you for hanging out on Davin's Den. It is just Joe and I for the rest of the show. Pip had a tap out, but she gave it a heroic effort indeed. So talk about sacrifices, animal sacrifices right in your neighborhood, maybe next door to your house. Should that be allowed? A Detroit area city on Tuesday voted to approve allowing residents to sacrifice animals at home for religious purposes. The Hamtramck City Council, whose members are all Muslims, approved the practice 3-2 on Tuesday. The matter was put up for a vote in December, but the city council members kept a ban in place. The issue was revisited this month after legal advice and objections from resident Muslims. If somebody wants to do it, they have a right to do their practice, council member Mohammed Hassan said. Muslims often slaughter animals, especially goats or sheep, during the holiday of Eid al-Adha, I hope I didn't butcher that too much, Eid al-Adha, or pay someone to do it for them. Meat is shared with family, friends, and the poor. It's not something new or novel, explained Duwad Waleed, director of the Michigan branch of the Council of American Islamic Relations. This is when Muslims recognize Abraham sacrificing a sheep instead of having to sacrifice his son. By the way, bad dad. Bad dad. Waleed said in apparent reference to the Quran and the Old Testament. You know, at that point, you got to go, when God asks you, you know, show your allegiance to me by killing your firstborn. Dude, you're a sick son of a gun. I don't think so. I think I need to see other deities. This is not going to be acceptable for me. But I guess it was a test. I guess women get mad or men get mad when your spouse or significant other puts you through a test. How much do you love me? Would you do this? Would you do that? I love you as much as Abraham loved God. Ugh. Anyway.
Yeah, I love the tests and the questions.
Yeah, but you know what? I mean, everybody has a right now since it worked out for Abraham. Ah, just a test. Ah, I knew this God.
Let me tell you something. I surely don't. Why did you put this here? Why is that there? Why, you know, turn the TV off. It's like just nothing but peace.
Right, but you know, I'm talking about I want you to prove that you love me. Go up to him. Yeah, that guy's looking at me. I don't want him to look at me. Punch him in the face. And you got to prove your test. God did the same shit. Yeah, prove you love me. Ugh, you're such a needy God. I mean,
I know.
I mean, let's be honest, and then I'll get back to this story. But let's be honest. Shouldn't God, if not God, then who? Shouldn't God be secure in his own skin?
Yeah, he's very insecure.
Yeah. So
I mean, a narcissist too. He's got a book about him. You tell him how great he is every Sunday. You know,
dude, he's got more than one book about him. He's got many books about him. They sing songs about.
But still, me.
Yeah, I gotta tell you, maybe that's why I'm not very religious. I'm not into somebody who's that needy. And angry. Let's take a step, and then I have to get back to this. But let's take a step back. Like, would you date God? No. He's needy, and he's quick to anger. And when he angers, if you were dating God, God's the type of person, oh, well, you were talking to him, and then would throw like a vase through the new flat screen TV. That's the way God is. Nobody wants to date God.
Yeah, but as God has gotten older, he's kind of mellowed out. I mean, you haven't seen locusts in a while. I mean, look. He's trying to get rid of California at every turn he can, but you know, you haven't seen locusts yet.
But I mean, how many people do you have to smite until you go, you know what, that guy's got a problem?
Oh, yeah, I know. Yes, he says he's the father. He's the violent one. You know?
I'm not going to hurt you. You don't believe in me? I'm not going to hurt you. I'm going to hurt your firstborn. What sick son of a bitch is this? Like, if God was a dude in the neighborhood, he'd get his ass kicked.
Yeah, and then when you're about to kill your firstborn, he'd go, no, I'm just joking. Yeah.
Well, yeah, no, but I'm talking about what he did to the Egyptians.
Oh, yeah.
And then he can't even do it himself. He's going to send his minions, an angel of death, to do it. I don't want to get my hands dirty, not for nothing. This is below what I do. We're just going to send our angel of death over here. But, you know, kill a lamb to show that you're down with the G.O.D. I can't.
Yeah. You know, what are you going to do? I mean, you know, it's a sacrifice, but you know, lambs are indispensable.
I'm just saying, God, bad dude. Anyway, probably an unpopular take, but I'm going on the record. There's a lot of questionable behavior. A lot of questionable behavior.
I can't wait to see you on Judgment Day. You've had a pretty good life here, you know, but apparently I'm a prick. You don't want to be up here with a prick, so I'm going to send you down there.
Yeah, well, you know what I'll do?
God forbid, or me forbid, why should I upset you?
Well, you know what I go? I would say, well, let me show you the receipts. And then I would take out the Old Testament. Look what you did. Look what you did. These are Egyptian babies. They didn't do anything to you. They didn't have time to do anything to you. And you killed them all. Who does that?
I do that. But I don't want you to take it more of your time. I'll send you downstairs.
And you know what? I go, you know what? Fine. At least when he's burning people, there's a reason for it.
And you get down there, and he's going to get pissed off. Oh, I got to hear his shit again. He goofed on my horns. He wants to set up a mic by the River Styx.
I do not.
I don't have time for him either.
I don't want to set up a mic by the River Styx. I'm retired. I'm dead.
I know. Yeah, I know. You did Hansel. That was close enough.
Well, for you, Mr. Having a Nervous Breakdown. the rest of us were just fine. No, it's an unpopular take, but I stand by it. And if there's a judgment day, who is he to judge?
Okay, he's God.
Yeah. Who made him God?
You know, I don't know, but he's like probably like Scholar of Heaven. You know, you want to go in there, and you go in there.
Got a whole list, screws up my intro.
Yeah. You know, we're looking for people that are, you know, we have plenty of people like you. We're looking for something different.
We're looking for people that are better and younger.
Yeah, better and younger.
We're looking to make heaven younger. That's the problem with heaven. It's filled with predominantly old people.
Yeah, and YouTube hits. Plenty with YouTube hits.
Yeah, see, that's why I have all these young preachers on in the morning. They're good-looking guys. They're generating the hits. They're going viral.
Yeah, and that's why we sit. All right.
Just saying. Anyway. Hamrick residents will be required to notify the city, pay a fee. Of course, they got to get theirs, and
they got to be pricks too, you know.
And make their property available for inspection. Hamrick has a population of 28,000. More than half the residents are of Yemeni, or Bangladeshi descent. The Free Press said. So I put a poll out there for the folks. Should religious animal sacrifices be allowed in homes? What do you think the people said, Joe?
I would say more were for it.
You would be wrong.
Really?
16.7% were for it. 83.3% were against it.
Okay. Now it depends what they're bumping off. I mean, if they're killing lambs and goats and stuff like that, lambs and goats, same thing. Or you know, sheep, and they're going to consume it. That's fine. If they're cats and dogs, now there's a problem because they're cuddly and cute.
Sheep and goats are very sweet and cute. What are you talking about?
And they're also good with lemon. You know, if they're doing the slaughter at the house and they're properly slaughtered, you know, which I believe because it's a religious procedure, it would be, and they're using the meat for them or for family, I have no problem with that. I mean, you bring a deer home and you gut it.
No. You, first of all, but we're talking about the deer is killed in the woods. You don't hear the deer dying. I'm outside. I got the kids outside. It's a nice day. You know, we're having a little catch. Next thing I know, they're slaughtering a goat next door. And I hear, bah! Ugh, that's horrible. That's traumatizing.
Is it any more? I don't know. Is it any more traumatizing than the slaughter? I mean, anytime you're having a burger or something like that, they weren't lulled to sleep.
I understand that. But you're not hearing it. Joe, nobody says, you know what we're going to do, kids? We're going to go to the slaughterhouse this weekend. Nobody says that.
Yeah, but if it's in the privacy of their own home.
You hear it. Please, you have your own home. You can't even have a barbecue in the back.
Not in this fucking place, no. I can't even kill a fly, they call. But,
yeah, because you know what? This isn't like, you know, this is not a place where, you know, everybody's an acre away and you don't hear shit. People are packed in. No good. No good. Because you know what? It has nothing to do with religion. And this is the slippery slope. So All right, so I'm going to let the Muslims can sacrifice pork chop or lamb chop, excuse me, for their religion. So why can't the Satan worshippers sacrifice something for their religion? There's going to be a problem if they do it. If they do it, it's wrong. If I do it, it's okay? No, you can't do that.
It depends what they're sacrificing. Then there should be a list of things you could sacrifice.
But that's not on here. Why does it depend? Because you think something's cuddly and cute?
Yeah. I would say, you know, if they're doing it in a proper manner and they're following religious procedure to do it, you know, and it's in the privacy of their own home.
But that's just it. We all... In all these communities, you know what? You can't have that sign is too bright. These hedges are overcreeping the neighbors. We can't do what we want willy nilly in society. It's fun to pretend we can, but it affects other people. That's my point. Can you imagine? I'm looking at a house. Oh, all right. We're going to. Oh, I like that spare bedroom. Oh, well, my wife's expecting. That'll be the nursery. Then you sign the contract. You purchase the house. Oh, that's where they slaughtered lamb chop. Are you kidding me? You know what? Nobody wants the kids growing up in the slaughterhouse.
All right. You know what, though? They said Muslims often slaughter animals, especially goats or sheep, during the holiday of Eid. Al-Dahiya is a tough word, or pay somebody to do it for them. You know what? Hire a guy that's properly trained in that, and have him come over and do it.
Why do we have to do it at the house? That's my problem. I don't have a problem with them doing it.
If it's part of their religion that it's done at the house,
it's not. It's not. It's for convenience, I think.
You know, if it's done properly and they hire somebody specifically to do it, you know.
How would you feel if you moved in and you had to hear the slaughter of animals, their last dying gasp? That's what you wake up to. You're a grouch as it is. But imagine waking up to the slaughter of a goat. How would you deal with that?
You want to know something? It's you're trying to get a, you know, a lot of people want to get away. I mean, they're not lulled to sleep. I'm working on a bit where I'm calling out like these Purdue chicken, where they say our chickens live in a free range environment and eat the best grain, and then we fucking kill them. You know, so it's like it's glossing over actually what happens to these animals. I mean, if it's done in a proper way, and it's done during a holiday, you know. Then I wouldn't have a problem with it.
Again, I don't have a problem with them sacrificing animals, which is so barbaric and stupid. But if you're going to eat it, fine. I just don't think it should be done in the house because you're affecting my property value. You know, God forbid my maple tree, the branches go too long. The town has to come and cut it because somebody complained. God forbid I'm blasting Twisted Sister like it's 1988 and somebody complains. Oh, Dee Snider's a problem, but a sheep bleeding out as it dies is fine. I don't think so.
I believe these are incidents that might have occurred. It seems a little too close to home, literally.
Well, I do like to blast the Twisted Sister.
Yeah.
No, but like, listen. I mean, all right. So let's just take it one further. You could do it in your house. Can you do it in your apartment?
I think that they would draw the line if it's a dwelling with more people. I think in a private residence.
No, it's private. It's a private residence. You know, these four walls are mine.
Bringing a goat in an apartment building, I don't think that would work.
So what happens if we're slaughtering the animals outside in the backyard?
In a
private house. But the houses are close. Houses are close like the neighborhoods we grew up in.
If he regulated it.
Well, forget about the regulation. You take your kid out to have catch. Next thing you know, a goat's getting its throat slit.
But in a religious, connotation, if there was a ceremony, and you knew that there were Muslims that were doing this, and it's legal and it's in a religious connotation, maybe it's something that you would have to deal with.
Well, apparently in this town you would listen. Well, a lot of the Orthodox Jews do, and I'm not a fan of this either. All of a sudden what they'll do is, because they don't want to go to the big temple, the big shul, big synagogue, because services take too long, and the rabbi goes on and on and speech has a speech and pontificates, and the chazan, the leader, sings and sings and sings. Sometimes you want a quicker ceremony. So what they'll do is they'll get – you have in Jewish religion, you have to have 10 men that are 13 and older. So they'll get 10 or more men, and they'll have what they call a minion at somebody's house. Next thing you know, this catches on, and we got more and more people coming in there. Now they're inside, but we're not zoned for this. Why do I have to have 50 Jews walking to my neighbor's house all of a sudden? It's a house. It's not a temple. It hasn't been zoned for it.
Maybe you could work it where it's... There's zoning that would allow animal slaughter. You could have the Department of Health come in, and if you want to be Ted, you have the Department of Health come in and go, well, look, we don't find this sanitary doing it at a private home for the risk of infection. It'll have to be in a certain area or a certain place that you can do this and work it that way. This way, it's not in people's backyards. It's a certain place, maybe a building or a church that this is done.
But that's it. I don't have a problem if it's done in the building or the mosque. I don't have a problem with that at all. I have a problem when you bring it in home and there's neighbors. That's where my problem is.
All right. So you know what? So we'll agree that it can't be done in a private home, that it would have to be done in a mosque or a religious setting, and that would be the way it was zoned. And you would make it do – well, it's a freedom – no. It's violating the health code, and it would need to be done. If you want to do it in a religion, it would have to be done in a mosque.
So now we do agree.
Yeah, then we'll compromise.
Well, we didn't compromise. That's what I was saying the whole time.
Yeah, then we'll compromise. Then we'll do it in a mosque.
All right, so we agree. That wasn't a compromise. So you agree with the majority. No, they shouldn't allow it. All right, let's do some School of Fools. Where is that jingle? Where are you, jingle? Should have had this queued up.
Sing around the rosy, bucket full of posies. Ashes, ashes, we all fall down.
Shame, shame, shame.
School of Fool.
All right, we're going to stay on the Muslims. It's a Muslimy type of day. Erica Lopez Prater, an adjunct professor at Hamline University in St. Paul, Minnesota, said she knew that many Muslims have deeply held religious beliefs that prohibit depictions of the Prophet Muhammad. So last semester for a global art history class, she took many precautions before showing a 14th century painting of Islam's founder. In the syllabus, she warned that images of holy figures, including Muhammad and the Buddha, would be shown in the course. She asked students to contact her with any concerns, and she said no one did. In class, she prepped students, telling them that in a few minutes, the painting would be displayed in case anyone wanted to leave. Then Lopez Prater showed the image and lost her teaching gig. Officials at the small private university with about 1,800 undergraduates had tried to douse what they feared would become a runaway fire. Instead, they ended up what they had tried to avoid, a national controversy which pitted advocates of academic liberty and free speech against Muslims who believe that showing the image of Muhammad is always sacrilegious. After Lopez Prater showed the image, a senior in the class complained to the administration. Other Muslim students not in the course supported the student, saying the class was an attack on their religion. Really? That's as bad as you've had it? Okay. They demanded that officials take action. Officials told Lopez Prater that her services next semester were no longer needed. In emails to students and faculty, they said the incident was clearly Islamophobic. Hamline's president Fainis Miller co-signed an email that said respect for the Muslim students should have superseded academic freedom. Because we're a university. Why wouldn't it? At a town hall, an invited Muslim speaker compared showing the images to teaching that Adolf Hitler was good. No. Free speech supporters started their own campaign. An Islamic art historian wrote an essay defending Lopez Prater and started a petition demanding the university's board investigate the matter. It had more than 2,800 signatures. Free speech groups and publications issued blistering critiques.
PEN America called it one of the most egregious violations of academic freedom in recent memory. And they cited the memories of Donald Trump and Joe Biden. And Muslims themselves debated whether the action was Islamophobic. Arguments over academic freedom have been fought on campuses for years, but they can be especially fraught at small private colleges such as Hamline, which are facing shrinking enrollment and growing financial pressures. To attract applicants, many of these colleges have diversified their curriculums and tried to be more welcoming to students who have been historically shut out of higher education. Meanwhile, professors everywhere often face pushback for their academic decisions from activist students or conservative lawmakers. Lopez Prater's situation was especially precarious. She was an adjunct, one of higher education's underclass of teachers, working for little pay and receiving few of the workplace protections enjoyed by tenured faculty members. So she was expendable. University officials and administrators all declined interviews. Heavens no. But Miller defended the decision in a statement. To look upon an image of the Prophet Muhammad for many Muslims is against their faith, Miller's statement said, adding, ahem, come on.
It was important that our Muslim students, as well as all the other students, feel safe, supported, and respected both in and out of the classrooms.
Yes, thank you. In a December interview with the school newspaper, the student who complained to the administration, Aram Wadatala, described being blindsided by the image. Ah, it was in the syllabus, you dumb fuck. I'm like, this can't be real, said Wadatala, who in a public forum described herself as Sudanese. As a Muslim and a black person, I don't feel like I belong, and I don't think I'll ever belong in a community where they don't value me as a member, and they don't show the same respect that I show them. Todd Green, who has written books about Islamophobia, said the conflict at Hamline was tragic because administrators pitted natural allies, those concerned about stereotypes of Muslims and Islam, against one another. The administration, he said, closed down conversation when they should have opened it up. The painting shown in Lopez Prater's class is one of the earliest Islamic illustrated histories of the world, a compendium of chronicles written during the 14th century by Rashid al-Din. Shown regularly in art history classes, the painting shows the winged and crowned angel Gabriel pointing at Muhammad and delivering to him the first Quranic revelation. Muslims believe that the Quran is composed of the words of Allah dictated to Muhammad through Gabriel. The image is a masterpiece of Persian manuscript painting, said Christiane Gruber, a professor of Islamic art at the University of Michigan. It is housed at the University of Edinburgh. Similar paintings have been on display at places such as the Metropolitan Museum of Art, and the sculpture of the Prophet is at the Supreme Court. That's kind of weird. Gruber said that showing Islamic art and depictions of Muhammad have become more common in academia because of a push to decolonize the canon. That is, expand curriculum beyond a Western model. Gruber, who wrote the essay in New Lines magazine defending Lopez Prater, said that studying Islamic art without the compendium of Chronicles image would be like not teaching Michelangelo as David. Yet most Muslims believe that visual representations of Muhammad should not be viewed, even if the Quran does not prohibit them. The prohibition stems from the belief that an image of Muhammad could lead to worshipping the prophet rather than the God he served. There are, however, a range of beliefs. Some Muslims distinguish between respectful depictions and mocking characters, while others do not subscribe to the restriction at all. So there is support for her,
From Islamic scholars as well. And you have the radical believers saying, well, it's pitting people in a religion against each other. Well, all they're pitting is you have people that are saying, well, this is desecration, and then you have Islamic scholars saying, well, slow down, not really. In certain, when you're showing it in a positive light and you're showing a masterpiece, it really isn't in a negative light.
Yeah, I mean, they're bringing up, I was blindsided. There's a syllabus, stupid. Yeah, I mean, it's not my fault if you don't read the syllabus. I told you what's going to happen. And I told you before it happened. Now, maybe should have reminded them the class ahead instead of a couple of minutes before. But, I mean, these people had warnings. I think she did pretty much what could be expected of her. She said, does anybody have a complaint? If anybody has concerns, you know, you had to read the syllabus. Let me know. If this person had a concern, the time to do was when you got the syllabus. Hey, teach, not for nothing. I don't like this, and this is why, and I want to have the conversation. And then the professor could have heard her out, and if after the conversation, maybe the professor would have said, you know what, I get what you're saying. We're not going to show it. I respect it. That's fine.
And she asked if there was any objections. And it's like, well, I felt, you know, you had that one person. Oh, I felt threatened. I thought you were asked if you had any objections, if you wanted to go. And then you also have scholars saying, well, you're showing Muhammad in a beautiful painting from the 14th century in a positive way. That a lot of Islamic scholars would say, well, is an Islamic scholar saying it isn't sacrilegious because you're showing it in a beautiful light, you know? And the kids were warned, and a lot of people agree with her. It's just another instance of a school, you know, taking a knee-jerk reaction to this and not defending their teachers.
I don't think they took a knee-jerk reaction because they did have a hearing. I don't think they took a knee-jerk reaction. I do think they caved. So, and like I said, this teacher was expendable. She's not making a lot of money. I think she was teaching there for a semester, and she doesn't seem that upset that she was fired. But it's just like, listen, man, I'm all for respecting people's religion, as ridiculous as I think most of these religions are, or actually as ridiculous as I think all these religions are. I don't think one religion is better than the next. But I'm all for respecting other people's beliefs and letting people live. Like, if she would have just unveiled it and not given a heads up, I could see the complaint. People go, whoa, I was blindsided by this. I did not see it coming. She put it in the syllabus. She put it in the syllabus. There was a time to complain. She said a couple of minutes before she revealed it, this is what's going to happen. If you don't want to see it, feel free to walk out. It's not a big deal. I mean, you know, I can respect your religion without having to comply with your religion.
Yeah, and even moving further into the story, at the December 8th forum, which was attended by several dozen students, faculty, and administrators, Westphala described often through tears how she felt seeing the image. Who do I call at 8 a.m.? You had a syllabus that was sent to you. You knew what was going to happen. Don't go to the class or protest the class, but don't go in and when you were told what was going to happen. Well, I was offended. You know, it's like, you know, not, you know, it's like going, well, you know, I was told that certain thing was going to happen, and I went in and it happened, and I'm very upset. You were told it was going to happen.
If there was a complaint beforehand, I could make the argument that it was not worth it for her to show it. Even if you're going to offend one student, I can make the argument, all right, it's not worth it. I could tell the students where it is, where they could see the painting if they want to, but I'm not going to show it. Nobody complained. Yeah. No, so then it's on you. If nobody's going to complain and you've been given notice, it's on you. I'd be embarrassed to complain. I mean, if it's in the syllabus. Oh, I don't read that. Well, that's on you, stupid.
Yeah, also to expand on that, Mark Bexson, a religious professor at Hamline, raised his hand and said, when you say trust Muslims on Islamophobia, Bexson asked, where does one, what does one do when the Islamic community itself is divided on the issue? Because there are many Muslim scholars and experts and art historians who do not believe that this was Islamophobic, because basically what she showed was a beautiful depiction of Muhammad, and the showed it in a positive light. I mean, when that paper in Paris and those
Charlie Hebdo.
Yeah, I mean, he did not show, you know, Muhammad in a positive light, and there was, well, a couple of people at the paper got killed. You know, you could argue, well, he didn't show it in a positive light, and it triggered them. But there is debate on how it was shown, where Islamic scholars are saying.
Well, yes, there is a debate, but it is the minority opinion that you can show it. It's not the
lesson. You're right, you know.
Listen, I mean, and so this person, Kostovo, compared showing the image to using a racial epitaph for black people, according to Lopez Prater. I don't think that's the same thing. I don't.
No, it's not. And you want to know something? If you had a discussion on black history, and in a syllabus we will be saying the N-word during this, just to let everybody, if anybody has an objection to it, please let me know. or please don't attend, and we'll discuss it there. And you have it as a, well, they use the N-word. Well, you were told, damn it. What do you expect?
Yeah, I mean, it's like teaching about, like, Huckleberry Finn and not using, and we've talked about not using the N-word. It's in the text.
Yeah, you know. Well, I also did a joke on that, you know, where it, and people wanted the book banned, but the word, sounds like my joke, but it's the preamble to it. The word was in there to show the indignity of the word and the treatment. And Mark Twain said he wanted it in that book to show the indignity of the word. If you're reading it and getting offended, but it's in there to show the indignity of the word. You know, it shouldn't be in it, but you're not. It's a teaching moment. So
the hard thing to do in this climate would have been to stand behind the professor. That would have been the hard thing to do. They took the easy way out. It's a shame.
Yeah. Yeah.
All right. This was Joe's blog. So this story involves a painting about Jesus. A massive painting of Jesus on display in the U.S. Merchant Marine Academy in New York has been covered by a curtain after objections that the religious image should not hang in a room used for mandatory activities. The painting features Jesus with his arms stretched over a lifeboat, packed with sailors lost at sea, turned into a point of attention for non-Christian students and staff. Not for nothing. It's a little late, Jesus. I mean, you know, you God's son. How about if there's bad weather, you stop us at the dock or you turn us around? I mean, you
still. All right. Look, even Superman shows up in the nick of time. I mean, you know, all right.
Yeah, but Jesus isn't showing up in the nick of time. Jesus is showing up after it's too late.
Because he's busy. He's everywhere. You can't be, you know, and when you're everywhere, you're up your ass.
Yeah, but you wouldn't be everywhere if you didn't have to be everywhere and you couldn't do everything. Either you can or you can't.
All right. Jesus save me. Jesus take the wheel. Jesus, we're in the middle of the ocean. I mean, you know, nag, nag, nag. Everybody's got a problem.
Jesus take the wheel. Can you imagine? Wait a minute. I'm drinking over here. Wait, why do I got to take the wheel?
Yeah, really?
Jesus is having a cocktail up at the Heavenly Gates bar. Anyway. 18 people, including 5 Jews, damn you Jews, asked the Military Religious Freedom Foundation to appeal on their behalf to the Kings Point Academy, which reports to the U.S. Department of Transportation. Mikey Weinstein, the foundation's founder, asked the Academy Superintendent Joanna Noonan in a January 10th letter to move the painting to a more appropriate location, like a chapel. Weinstein noted that the Elliott M. C. Room, which currently houses the painting, is utilized for a variety of occasions, including as a classroom, a venue for advisory board meetings, and as a court for disciplinary hearings, among other things. The outrageousness of that Jesus painting display is only further exacerbated by the fact that their room is also used regularly for the U.S. Merchant Marine Academy Honor Code Violations Board, where midshipmen are literally fighting for their careers, Weinstein wrote, according to the report. I don't see what Jesus is going to have to do with that. Noonan promptly responded to the letter, noting that the painting size made it impossible to move. Well, it got moved there at some point. Somebody had to move it. It wasn't born there.
It wasn't born there, Barney.
But, I mean, unless it's a painting, not a mural. If it's a mural, all right, we're going to have to take out the wall. All right, that's a problem. It's a painting. Yeah, somebody hung it. Somebody got the level. Somebody got the nail and hammer. Don't tell me you can't move it. That's bullshit. But anyway. Noonan responded quickly to the letter, knowing that the painting size made it impossible to move, but was quick in coming up with another solution. I've asked my staff to purchase a curtain to be placed in front of the painting, she wrote in response. This will completely block the painting from view, but also allow those who wish to view it the opportunity to do so. Second, I've asked the director of the American Merchant Marine Museum to prepare a plaque that explains the history of the painting, which will be installed near it. Given the size of the painting, there is no other location to which it can be moved. How about by the curb? A simple white. Yeah, that'd be a great garage sale thing. I'm going to have the wall-sized Jesus painting. It'll go next to my Velvet Elvis and the dogs playing poker.
That'll look nice.
Sure. Yeah, but no, I'll put it in the basement where we play ping pong. I could use the help.
Yeah.
A simple white curtain was hung over the painting on Friday, but will soon be replaced by curtains that befit the elegance of the setting, Noonan said. The curtains will be kept up over the painting during any events in the room that require mandatory attendance. Even though the Military Religious Freedom Federation sought the painting's removal, Weinstein applauded the Academy's response. We think this is a superb solution, Weinstein told the Jewish Telegraph, whatever. It will be a teachable moment every time somebody asks, why are those curtains up there? Because the Jews complained. All right, Joe, this was your blog.
Basically it was a decent solution to that. They'll put curtains in front of it. They'll also put a plaque describing describing painting, which is good. There's not enough, you know, because people just want everything taken down and don't realize that it's a teaching moment. Even Mickey Weinstein from that Jewish group said that was a great idea. So everybody's on board with this. Basically, I got into more in depth, not on the painting itself, but people wanting things removed because they find it offensive and not realizing it could be a teaching point from a moment in time. Like a statue of Lincoln, a statue of Roosevelt, a statue of General Lee, where we want this taken down, but people put it up at a certain point of time and it can be used as a teaching point. Now, the argument can be made on this, well, put it in a museum. People don't go to museums. People walk through town every day. And if it's there depicting that, it's a talking point on the positive things that the person did. A lot of people want Columbus statues moved. And meanwhile, Columbus had a nefarious history as well, but he did, you know, he did good things. Now, the whole thing is they'll put a George Floyd painting up a mural or statue, and, you know, he was killed by the police. You want to make a martyr of him for being that. That's your business. But also, he was a convicted felon. So if you want to put it up, well, he needs to be a martyr because he was killed by the police. Well, other statues should remain because of the positive things these people have done, and whatever negative things they've done would be a talking point. So for the simple fact that they did keep this mural up, nobody buckled, and the people that did have a problem with it were satisfied with that, it shows it's a step in the right direction. Once again, other religions were not prohibited to put anything up. If the Jewish people wanted to put something up, they could put something up. If Muslims wanted to put something up, they could put something up. Basically, this school is a merchant marine academy. These folks are going to be working at sea in dangerous conditions. That painting that was put up there is a point of comfort. And religion has been under fire for a variety of reasons. The thing that has been taken away from religion in the past 20 years or so is that it is a place of comfort. And regardless of your religious beliefs, you go there, that is a place of comfort. I was born and raised a Catholic. I do have a lot of issues with the Catholic Church. But when things are dire, when somebody passes away, whatever, I do go back to the Catholic faith, because I knew that as a child. I was raised in that, and that's always been a place of comfort. So basically, all in all, if you have something there that's, you know, a piece of faith, a piece of comfort, it should be there. And you have everybody has an opportunity to put their faith or point of comfort in that setting.
All right, a couple things there. First of all, I do think with what they were given, they did come up with a good solution with what they had to work with. You talk about place of comfort. Yeah, it's called the church, the cathedral. What do they have? Where different religions go? Where in colleges and all. What's the word? Where all the different religions share like a place?
Chapel.
A chapel. Yes, I mean. The Jesus painting belongs in the chapel. I mean, we don't need the
Jesus. It might not fit.
Well, get a smaller painting. Listen, sometimes you want the kid. Sometimes you want the jumbo refrigerator. My wife did. You know what? It didn't fit through the front door. So what did we do? We took off doors. We screeched wooden floors. You have to adjust. You can't always have the biggest.
When you were there, were you the big? Because when Joanne and I bought a refrigerator, we're sitting at PC Richards. It's too big. It's not too big. It's too. I designed the kitchen. I'm telling you, the damn thing is going to fit. I get back into the house. Nope. Back to the store. I took the med. Like, uh-oh, it's 6 inches too big.
No. This was my wife and my contractor conspiring. So. So, listen, I don't think it belongs where you do an official business where everybody has to be mandatory. I do think they came up with a solution. For religion, some people find comfort in it. To other people, it's very unsettling. Remember, you know what kills the most people in the world?
Doing it in the name of God. Whoever your God is, there's nothing like killing in the name of God. Because God willing, I'll kill you. It's very popular in the world, and it has been for centuries. So I could understand.
Yeah, but the thing about it is, Jesus is in the ocean with his arms spread trying to help the people. He's not sicking sharks on them.
I understand that, but you got to remember, in the name of the church, we had things like the Crusades, where Jews were killed. I mean, so I could understand why they're a little sensitive about it. Would I personally complain? No, I don't give a shit, but I don't complain about most things like this. But I could understand why somebody would give a shit. Now, you brought up statues and whatnot. Remember, keep in mind here, in this case, they can have the curtain on and the curtain off. So you could see Jesus, or you cannot see Jesus. It's like peekaboo with a baby. You can't do that with a statue in the park, unfortunately. It would be the same if you could put a curtain around and go, oh, look, I was fine. Oh, you know, the rednecks are here. Show the statue. The black people are here. Cover them up. You can't do that in the park. And also, I don't think this statue was ever, I mean, excuse me, I don't think this painting was ever put up as a point of malice. I don't believe that at all, but a lot of the statues that were in question were built to remind black people to keep them in place. It wasn't to remind people of the Civil War per se. It was to remind them that they were inferior. That's the historical thing. So I don't think it's the same. But as far as this thing, I think it's an excellent solution. I'm glad they resolved it. It's amazing what people can come up with when they're just rational and don't act like assholes.
Yeah, but, you know, also like with the plaque, you could have a plaque near the statue. And if you go, well, you know, he did things, he kept slaves, and he did it. Yeah, but everybody kept slaves back.
Right, but are you also going to have that plaque? The reason it was put up was to keep, the reason why, forget about what the statue's connotating. The reason it was put up was to remind black people that they're inferior. I mean, you going to put that on there too?
I don't think that's the case.
That's the historical thing with a lot of these statues.
On what statue? Give me an example.
A lot of the Civil War statues. I can't remember the period in time. Pip would know it. We've talked about it before. I just can't remember right now. But a lot of these statues went up as black people were trying to get their civil rights. And these were put up to keep them in place. Maybe it was during Jim Crow. But that's what a lot of these statues were about. It wasn't just honoring generals, great generals, depending on your position. There was also a more nefarious purpose to it. Are we going to put that on the plaque too? Because if you're going to put that on the plaque too, maybe we're talking about something now. Maybe
you could put that on there. I mean, if you could detail it, and certain general, the war, dedication, you know, then. He did, you know, he was a slave owner and he did this, but, you know, his actions are up to debate. A teaching moment on that. But if you start pulling statues out, I mean, because everybody's got their opinion, there's going to be no statues left. There's not going to be no point in time where you can have a discussion point of what happened, you know, and we're losing that.
Yeah, I got to tell you, I mean, I don't want to get into the whole statue thing. God knows we've done it enough. But the only thing I've ever done when I've seen a statue is, look at that pigeon shitting on the statue. Like, that's really the only thing with a statue. I never walk in the park and go, I wonder what statues are here. Unless it's like a known historical place, like where there are statues and stuff like that, or like you go to D.C. where there are monuments. But if you go to your random park, I never understood why we got to stick a tank there, an airplane there, a statue there. Like, it's just a random park where people want to go and relax and have a picnic, you know, play frisbee with the dog. Why do we need a World War II tank in the middle of the park? I never understood any of this. Can't we just relax?
Well, you know, I mean, if it was it was the sacrifices that people made during the war, and a tank represented that, and the people, you know, felt the tank would be appropriate, there goes the tank. I remember when I was a kid. And when I was in high school, we had an anchor in front of John Glenn High School. We had a protest because the anchor represented war, and we didn't want war. It was a fuck, it's an anchor. But when you're 18, you have full of ideals. And the anchor now is at the intersection of 347 and Jericho Turnpike.
where you could talk about it in traffic. Well, look at that anchor. I wonder what the significance of that anchor is. If only there was a large flashing plaque on it so I could read it while I'm stuck in traffic.
Yeah. No, all I think of is like, yeah, I'm taking 347 home today. Yeah. Well, that Jericho Turnpike.
I think the difference between what they could do with this painting and with these statues is, you know what, you don't have to see it all the time. When it's mandatory, you don't have to see it. Whereas, like, in the park,
There's really no way to avoid it. It's just a completely different animal. But yeah, I mean, I don't think the Jesus statue should have been in the Jesus painting should have been where they're doing official business to begin with. But I don't have a problem with it if it's in a chapel on the property. I don't have an issue because that's where Jesus belongs. He's probably more comfortable there too.
Well, we'll see. But, you know, he's in the middle of the ocean in the picture. I think, you know, he's getting his feet wet.
And, you know, not for nothing. Let's be honest. If we're going to do ancient figures for the Merchant Marines, there's two I want instead of Jesus. I understand he can walk on water, which is nice, but they can't. So here's who I want. I want Moses, first of all, because you don't have to walk on water. When Moses shows up, the water scrams. So that's who you want. Sure.
In there.
And the other one, was it Job that got eaten by the whale that survived?
Yeah. You can have that. Put that in there.
So, yeah, I'd rather have those. And we don't even have Jesus walking on water. We have him standing on there as you're about to drown. Like, what's that mean? Nanny, nanny, poo poo, sucker? I can do it, but you can't? It's not very comforting at all.
Really? And you could also put a picture in there of the people in the water on the lifeboats on the Titanic going, really, really? You come for them, you don't come for us?
You just see Leonardo DiCaprio hanging onto a door.
The water's too cold. We happen to do either the ship goes down in the Caribbean. Oh, yeah, I'll come right out. But if it's cold, I don't want to get my twisties frostbit. No, drown dummy.
I told you there was an iceberg. Why did you speed up?
Yeah, right. I told you go this way. No. We're gonna.
You know better than I do.
I took the rudder. Jesus, take the. I took the rudder. You assholes move too slow. Die, drown. You're lucky you're not throwing locusts at you.
Yeah. So Jesus.
I tell you, they can become sore as hell up there. Let me tell you.
Where?
In heaven.
Yeah, it's not going to be a good place. Because how much fun can you have when, you know, God's looking over your shoulder?
Yeah. Now, I always wondered with heaven, because they always show us outside. Do you wander around in a cloud for eternity? I mean, I don't see a house up there. Just pearly gates after that, and there's all clouds and stuff.
Well, not to be gross, but what happens to bodily functions?
Yeah.
When you become an angel, do you lose your asshole?
I guess. I don't know. I'm trying to figure out what's going to happen when I die. I think I'm going to be cremated and buried with my parents and have no plaque or anything. And people go, well, what if people want to see you come to see your grave? I go, I can't get people into a club. They're going to come to my grave, roast me to a crisp, shove me in the ground with the parents, and that's that.
Well, you know what? You know who I think appreciates that? Satan, because you're making his job easier. He doesn't have to burn you. You did it yourself. Good man. Good man.
He might be sore as hell, no pun intended, that I saved him this step. I wanted first dibs on him.
Nah. I think he'll be good with it.
Yeah.
All right. We'll do this story, and then we will take our break and finish up with the last couple stories. That's what we will do. A fetus would be recognized as a passenger in carpool lanes and toll booths on Virginia expressways, according to a new state bill. They also have this bill in Texas, by the way. Under the legislation sponsored by Delegate Nicholas Freites of a Republican from Orange County, a woman must provide proof of pregnancy to the state's transportation department to get the privileged driving status. After she has proven that she has a bun in the oven, New York Post, the data would then be logged into the toll collection device such as EasyPass, according to House Bill 1894. Which was filed on Monday. A pregnant woman shall not be considered two people for the purposes, or shall be, excuse me, shall be considered two people for the purposes of determining occupancy in HOV and HOT lanes. I guess that's for people who really like pregnant women, the HOT lanes.
You know what I think the HOT lane is? When we were coming going down to the Carolinas, when you go through Washington, D.C., they have like a special, maybe you saw it, a special lane. That gets you out of the local traffic. You have to pay a toll.
Yeah, they're HOV now. But yeah, I know what you're talking about.
Yeah, but maybe that's what they mean by the HOT lanes.
The bill is likely to receive backlash from pro-choice activists who generally view personhood laws about unborn children as a path to undermining abortion access. But the bill is not likely to pass because Virginia state legislature is split between Republican-controlled House of Delegates and the Democratic-held Senate. The bill is currently pending with no voting date set. So this was the question I asked the bill, the folks. A new bill in Virginia proposes to allow pregnant women to count their fetuses as a person for carpool lanes. Should fetuses count as a person for carpool lanes? What do you think the people said, Joe?
I said no.
37% said yes. 63% said no. What are we doing here? I think about, like, because the police are the ones who have to pull you over if they suspect that, you know, you're breaking the carpool lane. You're creating more work for the police.
Yeah, and I tend to agree with this statement here. The bill is likely to receive backlash from pro-choice activists who generally view personhood laws about unborn children as a path to undermining abortion access. I kind of think this is an undermining reason for this, why they're pushing it through. I think it's a pro-life thing that they're pushing it through. Because if they pass it as a law, for the vehicle law, they're going to say, well, if they're considering it as a law, it should be considered a law, against abortion.
Yeah, I agree with you. There's definitely some shady stuff going on.
Because how are you going to enforce this? I mean, how are you going to enforce? You can't enforce this.
And well,
you're going to waste the police time pulling over cars with one occupant. Then you got to sit there and waste time, finding out if this woman is pregnant or not. I think there's an underlying reason to this, and I think it's because of the pro-choice.
Yeah, I mean, that's what's going to happen, because the cops aren't going to know. When you're pregnant, you're not showing your gut. You're not showing your belly flopping out the window. It's just going to lead to unless they're just going to say, all right, we're not going to pull over women anymore.
Yeah, yeah. And like I said, my leanings, and if I was ahead of, I'm like, no, this is horseshit. I'm not voting on this, no.
So you think it's horseshit? Well, so do most of the other people, Joe. They agree with you. This is horseshit. All right, there wasn't much.
And I look at it this way: the other person has got to be outside of you.
I agree.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, somebody wrote on my Facebook page: unless they're in a seat, they don't count. For these purposes.
Yeah. And you want to know something? And for it to be an occupant, the occupant will have to be visible by a police officer. And if it's not visible by a police officer, and there is no way to really verify if this person is pregnant, you can tell if they're pregnant, but still, I mean, it would have, for safety of the officer and utilizing officer's best time in the best way possible, the occupant needs to be visible by a police officer at a glance.
All right. Agreed. All right, we'll take our last break. We'll solve that riddle for you, and we'll probably get to one more story that I rounded up at the last minute. Good stories, though, that I got, but Joe doesn't know what they are. Well, unless he heard me saying what they might be. But all right, on the break, we got new music from Wolfgang Lohr with Black Swing, and Tom Scobie and Ian Source with The Fighters, and you can learn more about both those artists at KHB.